Thank God for the tree that changed it all tonight. Sure appreciate the cross of our Savior. I want you to take your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Luke in chapter number 14. The book of Luke in chapter number 14 will be our text. I appreciate the theme of the meeting this year. Quit you like men, stand fast and be strong. If there's ever been a day that we are at an all-time low of masculinity, it's today. We are raising a generation of sissies. And our liberal colleges around this country are now demonizing the thought of masculinity and being a real male. I'm not talking about just in thought. I mean in deed and in practice. They are literally coming out against masculinity. And if you act like you're a male and think that's all right to be a male, then they act like you're crazy or something's wrong with you. I'm a man and I'm unashamed to be one tonight. Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen, Brother Mike. Praise God. I say like Brother Ruckman said one time, he was preaching on being God's woman. I want to be God's man, but if I was a woman, and I ain't a woman, but if I was a woman, and thank God I ain't a woman, but if I was a woman, and I never wanted to be a woman, but if I was, I'd want to be God's woman, he said. He iterated over and over. I ain't one, don't want to be one. You looking at the fella, I'm happy at what I am, what I am, and I'm happy being what I am tonight. And fellas, we need some more men. Amen. I mean some more real men that'll serve God, live for God, know what you are and be unashamed about it, unapologetic about it. And I appreciate meetings like this that encourage those kind of things. Luke chapter number 14 tonight, I'd like to begin reading verse number 25. We'll read down through verse number 30. I'm going to be real quick so that we give Brother Sampson plenty of time to preach tonight. Luke chapter number 14, verse 25. I appreciate Brother Sampson. We was just rehearsing today how long we've known each other, seeing his oldest daughter, Bella. I remember when she was born. It took us a long ways back to when we preached together in Kentucky a long time ago. And I appreciate him and what God's doing in his family's life up in New York. Luke chapter 14, verse 25, if you found your place with me in your Bible, somebody say amen. Amen. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to, notice this word, finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to, say this word with me tonight, y'all, finish. Lord, I pray that you'd help me just for a few minutes to expound the scriptures. Give us unction, give us power, give us ability. We'll thank you now for what you do. Bless our dear brother that will follow us. Thank you for the good singing of the choir. Thank you for reminding us of a place called Calvary, what it has done in our lives and how it has changed us and brought us from death unto life. Help us now to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. Help us to stand in these days, having done all to stand. When everything, Lord, seems to be against us and trying to get us to fall, give us some young men and some young ladies and some mamas and daddies of character that would stand in this day for truth and for right and for holiness and for the Word of God. We'll thank you now for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Here in our text, we find that our Savior
Savior is preaching to this crowd, and he is preaching on the subject of discipleship. Jesus is not preaching in the text on salvation. He is dealing with discipleship. You realize salvation and discipleship are two horses of two different colors. Somebody said it is tragically possible to have a saved soul and a lost life tonight. It is possible to be saved and on your way to heaven, God your Father, Jesus your Savior, and the Holy Ghost living on the inside, and yet not live up to what God saved you for, and that is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Any old fool can get saved tonight, and I thank God for it, or I wouldn't have been able to. Any old fool can fall off the turnip truck, see himself as a sinner, and see Jesus as the Savior, fall on his face, repent of his sins, and trust Christ. But discipleship, hey, salvation is God coming after you. But discipleship is you going after God tonight. May I say the reason why there are not many disciples in this day is because of the very nature of the word. The very nature of the word speaks of discipline. And we are living in one of the most undisciplined ages that has ever graced the face of planet Earth. We are living in a generation of if you want it, get it. If it feels good, do it. It doesn't matter what the consequences or the repercussions are, or what the Bible says, or what God thinks, or what the preacher said. Just be what you want, do what you want, and God will give everybody a big sloppy wet kiss, and it'll be okay. But may I say, if you are to be the cut above, if you are to be something a little different than the average modern milk toast, lukewarm, middle of the road, Laodicean Christian, you got to make your mind up. I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus is preaching about discipleship, he uses a word three times that I believe is highly important when it comes to this matter of living for God. Now you realize that anything Jesus said is important tonight. Them red letters on that book, they ain't there by accident. Anything that ever rolled off the lips and come off the tongue of the darling Lamb of God was the inspired, inerrant, infallible, heaven-sent, God-breathed words from another world. And if Jesus says something once, you ought to pay attention. But if Jesus says something twice, you really ought to clue in. But if the Lord thinks enough of something to say it three times in the span of three verses in your Bible, jack your hearing aid up on high, baby. He's about to drop a bomb on us. This will be highly significant and highly vital to the preservation of your walk with God. And Jesus said, if a man is going to be a real disciple, then he must make his mind up, come hell or high water, though all hell comes against me, though none go with me, though many won't like it, I make my mind up, I draw my line in the sand, and I'll cross over. If I have to be an army of one, I'll go by myself, but I will finish. I believe the greatest hindrance on the road to true discipleship, Brother Polk, is not many of the things that we preach about and we hear preached about today. Now, I preach against a lot of these things, but many of these things are not what keeps a lot of people back, Brother Mike, from really serving God like they should tonight. I mean, look, I'm against homosexuality. I still think it's wrong for two fellas to hold hands and kiss up on each other and be gay. I still think it's wrong for two women to walk down the aisle of a so-called church and some limp-wristed, mossy-backed, spineless hireling stand up and say, I now pronounce you pervert, and pervert, you may kiss the pervert. I still think that's wrong. But the truth is, that ain't what keeps most of y'all back from living for God like you should. That ain't what keeps most of y'all back from being in Sunday school Sunday morning, from passing out tracts, from living for God and doing what you ought to. I'm against abortion tonight. I still think it's murder to take the baby out of its mother's womb, suck its brains out like it was a piece of garbage and throw it in the trash can. But that ain't what keeps most of y'all back from serving God this afternoon. I'm against a one world church. I'm against a light show and a smoke show and a rap group and a rock group. I'm still against, brother, changing our Bibles, changing our standards just to get a crowd. I'm against it tonight. But that's not what keeps most of y'all back from serving God like you should. I don't trust the government as far as I can pick them up, all of them, throw them on the left and on the right. But that ain't what keeps most of y'all from serving God like you should. You say, preacher, what is the greatest hindrance on the road to true discipleship? I believe the greatest hindrance in young people's lives of why they don't serve God is quitting. Not being disciplined enough to finish what you started. May I say, if you're going to live for God, turn out to be an old gray-headed saint of God and die with glory in your soul and some grit in your craw and a Bible in your hand and holiness in your heart, somewhere along the line, you got to go ahead and make your mind up. If I have to super glue my rear end to the pew and nail my feet to the floor, I'm going to stick it out. There may be some that quit. There may be some that drop out. There may be some that go back to their old life. There may be some that leave me, but it won't be me. I'll make my mind up. I'll take my stand, and I will not just be a starter. I will be a finisher. We got too many starters in this thing. We've got enough people that'll get started and get excited and live for God for a year or live for God for 2 years or stay in for 3 years. But it takes somebody of real character to say, I'll stick it out till the end. I'll be with the pastor. I'll be with the church. I'm with God till the end. I will finish. 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 You realize that everybody that quits don't intend to. Look what your Bible said here in verse number 28. For which of you, verse 28, intending to build a tower? This fellow that starts building this tower, Preacher Ryman, he's got good intentions. Yeah. But listen to what I'm telling you, young people. Good intentions will only take you so far. You sit in here tonight and you say, oh, I believe what Brother Garner said's the truth. I believe what Preacher Zorn said's the truth. I believe what the choir sings the truth. You know what? I believe I'm going to start living for God. That's wonderful. I'm glad you came to the altar. I'm glad you made a decision. I'm glad you decided to go with Jesus. But may I say, your good intentions will only carry you so far. I mean, real good flowery feelings will only take you so far. Somewhere along the line, it ain't going to be easy to keep serving God. I wonder to myself, Brother Garner, maybe the reason why this fella quit building his tower, he had good intentions, but maybe he come by somebody and he said, look here, I'm fitting to build a tower. And that fella said, shoot, no kidding. He said, yeah, I'm going to build a tower. He said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll come by and I'll help you. I'll bring my nail gun and I'll bring some nails and I'll donate some time and somebody else will come help us and my wife will fry some fried chicken up and we'll just have a good time building this tower. And it was all new and it was all exciting at first, and they started building that tower. But after a while, it just got old building the tower. After a while, people stopped showing up to help him build his tower. After a while, it was just him and his vision to see a tower built. And after a while, he's all by himself and he's all alone. May I say, he started looking. There was days when it rained and it wasn't easy to build. There was days he smacked his finger with a hammer and it hurt. There was days the doors didn't line up just right. And somewhere along the line, he finally just said, you know what? It's just too tough to build this thing. I think I'll just quit. It's just too tough. I believe I'll just let it be. May I say this to you? Listen to what I'm telling you. Real character don't kick in tonight. Anybody can go to an altar. Anybody can cry a few tears. Anybody can pray a few prayers. Listen to what I'm telling you. Real character kicks in when nobody's around. And and church gets old, and living for God gets old, and reading your Bible gets old, real discipleship and real character kicks in when you're a year down the road, and it ain't easy to go to church on Wednesday night, and it ain't easy to go soul winning, and it ain't convenient to pass out a gospel tract, but you do it anyways because you are a soldier and disciple of Jesus Christ, and you made a vow to God to finish. Everybody that gets married don't intend to quit. I've never met anybody, Brother Eugene, that stood at the marriage altar and looked at that woman while they was holding hands, and she is all decked out in white and prettied up, and her hair was done professionally, and somebody's playing that pretty little love song about how much they're going to love each other forever and ever and ever. I've never seen anybody that stood there at that time holding hands, looking into the eyes of that little girl and think to themselves, I sure am glad I signed them prenuptial agreements because I'm dumping your hind end in 6 months. Nobody thinks that. Boy, they sit there and they think, I'm going to be with you forever. But you know what happens, young people? After you put a ring on her finger and she puts a ring on your finger, I mean, you really find out who they really are. You don't really know that individual till you really start living with them. Amen. I mean, that's just the truth. You think you know them, and you're to try and find out all you can about them, but you really don't know them till you got to wake up and smell their stinky breath in the morning time. Amen. And so what happens is everybody comes by and says, oh, we're so glad that y'all decided to get married. This is wonderful. And they come give you a gift for your honeymoon, and everything's good until about 6 months or a year down the road. You realize she don't wake up with her makeup already fixed in the morning. She looks like something out of an Alfred Hitchcock movie when she wakes up, and her hair looks like she stuck her finger in the bless God socket, and her breath smells like she ain't been eating roses all night, but like she been drinking water out the toilet bowl all night long. Ladies, you realize he's just an old nasty, dirty, filthy man. He don't throw his drawers in the dirty clothes hamper. He don't say thank you when you cook supper. He doesn't compliment you when you look nice. And it's in those times when somebody comes by that you think is the BBD, the bigger, better deal. It's in those times that you say, bless God Almighty, I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to stay. I'm going to finish. Even if it kills me, and it might, just stick it out anyways. Finish. I'll tell you the reason why a lot of people won't finish, because it ain't always easy to finish. Jesus said this in verse 27, whosoever doth not bear his cross. Let me say, I'm going to tell you why a lot of you young people don't finish, because mom and daddy ain't never taught you how to bear anything. You want to quit? They just let you quit. You want to quit youth group? You want to quit teen soul winning? You want to quit youth choir? They just let you quit. Mom and daddy, it ain't teaching your baby nothing by just letting them quit every time they want to. Somewhere along the line, you got to teach them that life ain't always fun, life ain't always fair, and somewhere you got to finish something. I remember when I was a little boy, Preacher Ryman, growing up, we grew up in the Nintendo era, just after Atari. Y'all remember Atari had that one single little joystick with a little red button and Frogger and all that. Then Nintendo come out after that, and it was awesome. It was Super Mario Brothers and Excitebike and Kung Fu. Oh, hallelujah, I like Kung Fu. And they had that little gun. You could play Duck Hunt and Dove Hunter and shoot them things down. It was awesome. And I remember them little games, Brother Cam, we'd stick in that little system. And for whatever reason, you'd stick them in there. Sometimes they'd glitch. You'd have to pop them out and you'd go, you'd blow them, stick them back in. They'd work. I don't know why, but you did and it worked. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we'd get to playing them video games, Brother Cody. And when we play them video games, there was some of my friends, if they got to losing and they got the worst of it, about halfway through the game when they saw there was no hope to win, they'd just reach up and power. I said, oh, what are you doing? I don't want to play anymore. I quit. No, 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 no. No, no, see, now I wasn't raised that way. My daddy raised me. It didn't matter whether I was up 100 or get my eyeballs beat shut and I was down by 100. I was going to finish it till it's over with. You don't quit just because you don't like the outcome. You finish it whether you're winning or whether you're losing. You say, preacher, that don't mean nothing. What's that got to do anything? Yes, it does. Because Brother Man raising that generation has now grown up and they've been let to taught that they can quit on anything. They grow up and they quit school. They grow up and they quit college. They grow up and they quit their job. They grow up and they quit on their marriage. They grow up and they quit on God. They grow up and they quit on church. And when life gets real hard, they just quit on life. I'm preaching tonight for a few minutes on finish. Finish. I love this. Quit you like men. Be strong. Somebody got to finish. Got a lot of starters, ain't got many finishers anymore. It's three things you're going to have to do if you're going to finish. Let me throw them out to you real quickly and I'm going to be done. Number one, if you're going to finish, you have to fight. You're going to have to fight if you're going to finish. Look at your text. Look at what the text said in verse number 31. Jesus is still dealing with the thought of finishing and discipleship. And in verse 31, he says, or what king going to make? Notice what he says finishing is like. War. Against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Did you see what Jesus just said that finishing is like? Finishing is like fighting an all-out war against 2-to-1 odds. 20,000 against 10,000. What Jesus is saying here is the odds are against you. The odds are against your Christian life surviving from teenagers to adulthood. The odds is against young couple, your marriage, making it. The odds are against you. I sure am glad that even though the odds may be against me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. May I say it ain't always going to be easy. You're going to have to fight. The odds are going to be against you. You look at the statistics out there today, and it's all against you. Brother, the entertainment industry is against you. The music industry is against you. The educational industry is against you. The government is against you. It's all against you. You're going to have to finish anyways. I love what Paul said about finishing and fighting. Paul writing to the young man, the old man writing to the young man, 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heed themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. 2 Timothy 4:7. I love this verse. I have fought a good fight. He didn't say I won every fight, but he did say I fought every fight. He said, hey, sometimes I've been knocked down, knocked around, but I ain't got knocked out. I have fought a good fight. If you're going to live for God, you're going to have to fight. Paul is telling this young preacher, what he is telling this young preacher, he's saying, son, I know all you see of me is you see me go into town, you see me preach, you see the signs of the apostleship, but it ain't easy to be me, Timothy. I've had to fight hell by the half acre, buddy Roe. I know what some of y'all, what some of you young preachers think. You look and you see Pastor Ryman, and you see Brother Sampson, and you see Brother Garner, and you see Brother Baldwin tomorrow night, and you see them in their suit, and you see them in their tie, and you see them preaching, and you hear the message, and you like it, and you say, man, I'm going to get me a suit like his. I'm going to get me a tie like his. I'm going to get me a Bible like his. I'm going to be a clone like him, and I'm going to be able to do just what I... May I say, you don't realize the fight they've had to get where they're at. A whole lot of fighting behind what your pastor's doing. They a whole lot of fighting behind what that evangelist's doing. They a whole lot of fighting behind what that youth pastor's doing. It ain't easy, brother. Paul said you're going to have to fight. I love to see a good fight. I do. I like to see a good fight. I don't necessarily want to do the fighting, but I like to watch a good one. There's something about watching two men, Brother Minnick, I mean chiseled up gladiators in the modern day, get into a ring or an octagon and just have at each other for about 20 minutes. I mean watch blood flow and eyeballs curl up. Hallelujah. Hondale shanda. If I could talk in tongues, I would. I'll interpret myself. That meant I enjoy fighting. Praise God. I got the gift. Hallelujah. I do. I like to watch. They say, oh, that's nasty. That's something about the raw nature of man that likes to see that. Look, I'm against y'all fighting. If there's two of you old boys in here that y'all got a bound determined, ain't nothing going to do. You better get out there in the parking lot and roll around and fight. I'm against it. I believe we ought to love as brethren. I don't believe you ought to be out there fighting. I don't believe you ought to hurt each other. But if ain't nothing going to do you and can't nobody talk you out of it, and all it's going to do you is for y'all to get out there and knock each other's heads in, I want to be there to watch. I want to watch. I want to see them eyeballs swell up and them ears go cauliflower and them lips go to butt. I mean, I want to see it go down, friend. You say, that's terrible, preacher. May I say, you better go ahead and get this mindset, little girl. You better go ahead and get the mindset, little boy, and make your mind up. You realize this is not a playground we're in. It's a battleground, and we are fighting a tough and determined enemy that wants to ruin your life, wants to wreck you. I have watched our enemy walk up into good youth groups and into good churches and waylay some clean little girl, waylay some clean little boy, and drag them down through hell, drag them down through sin, send them out into the crack house, send them out into the dope house. I've watched the enemy come in and knock somebody sideways, get them out of church, get them hooked on a bottle, watch their family split up. You better make your mind up. I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to put the armor of God on, and I'm going to step out into this world, and I'm going to do battle with the enemy. You're going to have to fight if you're going to finish. I'm amazed, Brother Jesse, at what some people call a fight. If Paul was living today, he would look at some of us Girl Scouts and say, you call that a fight?
Well, the youth pastor, he said something ugly to me and hurt my feelings.
Oh, bless your little heart.
Well, Brother Ryman didn't shake my hand the other day, and nobody came to watch me play baseball or softball, and it hurt my feelings.
Oh, God bless you. I only take time out, pray for you, give you a little pacifier, amen, a little lollipop. Let me tell you what Paul called a fight. This is what Paul called a fight, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, I've been stoned. I've been shipwrecked. Been beat with rods. I've been in night and a day in the deep. I've been in perils of robbers, perils of my countrymen, perils among false brothers. That's what Paul called a fight. And what some of us call a fight, just don't stack up. You're going to have to fight if you're going to finish. I know there's going to be some days you're going to get up on Monday. You're going to think, oh, I got this thing. Let's go. I've read my Bible. I've prayed. I'm ready to ninja kick the devil upside his nasty forked head. I'm ready to go. Let's get after it, big dog. And you're going to walk out into the world, and something is going to sucker punch you out of nowhere, knock you half senseless, and you're going to think you a failure and a flop. You're going to walk back into church and think, don't nobody want to see me no more, and God don't care about me. I just went to youth rally and said I'd stick it out, and now I done messed up. Oh, God's done with me. But friend, may I say, just come on back to church. Don't quit. There's somebody in your corner. There's somebody in your corner that'll say, let's get up. Let's get right. Let's go on. May I say like this, it ain't about how hard you can punch. It ain't about how hard you can give a lick. It's about how big a lick you can take. And keep on living for God and keep moving forward. There's going to be some times you're going to take some punishment. Just finish anyways. I got to finish, praise God. Let me quick right here. If you're going to finish, you got to fight. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Preacher Ryman, they used to come by your office, and young couples would come by and they'd say, Pastor, I'm leaving her because I caught her running around on me. Okay.
I'm down with that. Look, you got Bible grounds for that. I don't know if I could stick it out either if I caught my wife with somebody else. Hey, take off if God give you liberty to do so. Or they'd come by and they'd say, I'm leaving him because he beats me. All right, sis, I'm down with that. Hey, call the pastor, call your daddy and some men. We'll go whoop the devil out of him. Hey, I get that. But that ain't what they say no more. They come by and they say, I'm leaving her or I'm leaving him because I ain't happy. You ain't happy. Of course you're not. You got a mother-in-law. Amen. You ain't happy. Who told you was always going to be happy? You've been watching too much Disney, baby. You've been watching too much Belle and Cinderella and the Little Mermaid and Sleeping Beauty. You've been watching too much Disney. It ain't always cupcakes and cotton candy and rainbows and puppy dogs and little butterfly kisses. There's some days you just ain't going to be happy, but you stick it out anyways. I'll ask you a question. Listen to me, young people. Let me ask all y'all a question real fast. Is the only time your youth pastor, your mom, your daddy, or God, or the church, is the only time any of us can count on you is when you are happy? Matter of fact, let me broaden this out. Let me ask you a question, mama, daddy. Is the only time the church, God, or anybody else can count on you is when you are happy? Because if that's the only time we can count on you, we can't count on you. Amen. I mean, come on, here's just the truth. Listen here. Some of y'all live just as clean as a hound's tooth. Some of y'all wouldn't drink liquor for nothing. I ain't for drinking liquor. You're not to. Some of y'all wouldn't put a pair of breeches on because you're so holy. Some of y'all wouldn't watch TV. Some of y'all wouldn't say a wordy dirt out your mouth. But I'll tell you what, you got all the outward standards down, but you ain't got no character. You sorry, and we can't count on you. God can't count on you. The preacher can't count on you. Oh, you got standards down, but you can't be counted on because you ain't got no character. Amen. You won't finish nothing. You quit every time something gets hard. Amen. You got to fight. You got to fight to finish. I got to hurry. No, you got to fight to finish. You got to keep the faith to finish. Amen. Brother Jason preached last night. His last point was fighting for the faith fighting with the faith, not fighting for the faith. But you got to do both. Amen. You got to keep faith. Paul said, I fought the good fight. And the last part of 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, I have kept the faith. I like that word kept. The word kept, Brother Kaz, literally means to attend to carefully. It means if I lose everything around it, I ain't losing this. I'm not talking about faith to get saved. I'm talking about faith because you are saved. He said, if I lose everything else, I'm going to hang on to this right here. Paul said, I've lost a lot of things. I've lost some friends. I've lost time. I was a young man when I got saved. Now I'm an old man. I've lost a lot of stuff, but I ain't lost my faith. Still got that. Young people, if you lose everything else, keep your faith. If all your friends quit on you, if your mom and dad splits up, if you end up without no health, if you end up in a hospital, if you end up, brother, with nothing to your name, just make sure you don't let go of your faith because you're going to need that. I'm amazed at how many people lose or will keep everything else besides their faith. They don't quit baseball. They don't quit softball. They don't quit football. They don't quit basketball. They don't quit volleyball. They don't quit soccer. They don't quit school. They hang on to everything except faith. You're going to need that. If you're going to make it, you're going to have to grab a hold of your faith like a bulldog on a soup bone, not let it go. Amen. With everything around you trying to yank it from you, you're going to have to hang on to your faith. I got to close. You got to fight if you're going to finish. You got to keep the faith if you're going to finish. Lastly, you'll have to focus if you're going to finish. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. In the middle of 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, I have finished my course. Didn't say I finished your course. Said, I finished my course. I can't finish your course, Brother Josh. That's yours. I can't finish yours, Brother Michael Shane. That's yours. But I can finish mine. Yeah, yes, sir. Amen.
You can't finish mine, I can't finish yours. I'm going to tell you, I believe maybe one of the reasons why this fellow in our text did not finish his tower is maybe he was too busy worried about what everybody else was doing on their tower. He run down the road and seen what Bob doing on his tower and said, Bob, I don't believe I'd do mine that way. I believe I'd do it a different way. And Bob said, what you doing on your tower, Joe? Well, nothing. Why don't you get busy on your tower and then come back and tell me how to do mine? I'll be honest with you. There is a danger in this social media generation. The social media generation we live in, this selfie generation, this all about me. Pray God, Brother Samson tried to take a selfie today. His arm wasn't long enough to get all of us in it, praise God. We needed a stick or somebody to take it for us. We live in this generation, though. You ever looked at some, y'all ever looked at some of these people's Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter? I mean, brother, it's all about them. One facial shot after another facial shot after another face. We get it. You think a lot of yourself. You know why y'all call it selfies? Because you're not educated enough to call it narcissism. And we live in a generation where everybody is obsessed with what everybody else is doing. Everybody's watching what everybody else is doing. Somewhere along the line, you got to divorce yourself from what everybody else is doing and say, I just go live for God whether anybody else does or not. If I don't have any followers on Twitter, if I don't have any friends on Facebook, I'm going to live for God whether anybody likes my post, shares my post, follows. I'm going to live for God anyway. Amen. Brother Jesse, help me, Brother Jesse, and I'm going to be done. 1992, I believe it was, the Barcelona Olympics. There was a fellow that took the track to run. I forget how many meters it was going to be. This fellow got up to the blocks, and Derek Redmond was his name. Derek Redmond had been injured in the 1988 Olympics. He had come back for 1992 to try and run again. Everybody thought Derek Redmond was strong enough this time he would win a medal. They got down in their blocks, the gun sounded, and off took Derek Redmond. They got about halfway around the track. He was in perfect position to win a medal. About halfway around, the announcer said, something's wrong with Redmond. Redmond has pulled up. They got to watch as old Redmond tried to run, and he was hobbling around the track, and everybody was passing him by. Finally, Derek Redmond collapsed on the track and rolled around in agony, holding his leg. He had pulled his hamstring. He looked up and watched his hopes of a medal gone. Derek Redmond rolled around there for a minute, pushed off the paramedics and got up, and he began to hobble around that track. From behind him, you could see a figure running out of the stands, and he ran up to him, pushed past the security. It was his daddy. He'd been watching him in the grandstands. His dad got to him, and they embraced on the track. Derek cried on his daddy's shoulder, and his daddy said, son, you ain't got to prove anything to anyone. Just quit. Just quit. And old Derek Redmond cried, and he said this. He said, daddy, I want to finish. I want to finish. Derek's daddy said, all right, son, we started this thing together, and we'll finish together. And they locked arm in arm, and old Derek Redmond began to limp and walked to the finish line. It will never be recorded that Derek Redmond won a medal in the Olympics because he did not. But it will always be recorded and can never be taken away from him that Derek Redmond finished. He finished. And tonight you may have hindrances already in your life, baggage in your past that makes you limp in your Christian walk. May I say, just finish anyways. You say, preacher, I'll have to limp. I don't care if you have to limp. I don't care if you have to crawl. Just make your mind up. I'm going to be one of them that's still hanging around when the smoke clears and it's all said and done. I'm going to still have my Bible. I'm going to still have my testimony. I'm going to still have my walk with God. And I'm going to be one of those that's going to finish. People don't remember the starters. They remember the finishers. I wonder what crowd you're going to be in 5 years, sister. Wonder what crowd you're going to be in 5 years, brother. Are you going to be in that crowd that's still hanging in there, finishing? Or are you going to be in that crowd that we say, boy, they did run well. They started out real good, but it just didn't last. Just didn't last. You can finish. You say, how do you know I can finish? Because if you're saved, the Spirit of the living Christ lives in you. And on the cross of Calvary, our Savior said, it is finished. You can finish. He'll help you. He'll help you. Finish. How about it, Mom and Daddy? How about it, young people? How about it, young couple? Let's finish. Let's finish. Let's finish. Father, I ask you to bless the simple message from your word. Speak to our hearts about this matter of finishing. God, use your man that'll follow. Speak to our hearts. I need something from your word.